My friends, I still believe in ideals. I am not for a return to that definition of liberty under which for many years a free people were being gradually regimented into the service of the privileged few. I prefer, and I am sure you prefer, that broader definition of liberty under which we are moving forward to greater freedom, to greater security for the average man than he has ever known before in the history of America.
This little pig went to market where they buy and sell the stocks. This little pig came home again with a system full of shocks. I don't understand their language, don't know what it's all about. For a bull buys up and a bear sells down and a broker sells you out. And here is a song they sing the whole day long. Oh, the market's not so good today, your stocks look kinda sick. In fact, they all drop down a point each time the tickers tick. We'll have to have more margin now, there isn't any doubt. So you better dash with a load of cash or we'll have to sell you out. The stock exchange is a funny place, it's the strangest place in town. The seats cost half a million cash, but the brokers won't sit down. There's the broker, the bull, and the bear. It's queer, but it's not a joke. For you get the bull till your bankroll's bare, and the broker says you're broke. And here is the song I hear the whole day long. Oh, the market's not so good today, your stocks look kinda sick. In fact, they all drop down a point each time the tickers tick. We'll have to have more margin now, there isn't any doubt. So you better dash with a load of cash or we'll have to sell you out. The market simply goes to prove that we still have loco weeds. For the bull buys what he doesn't want and the bear sells what he needs. I bought an elevator stock and thought that I'd done well. Then the little bears all ran downstairs and rang the basement bell. And here is the song I heard the whole day long. Oh, the market's not so good today, your stocks look kinda sick. In fact, they all drop down a point each time the tickers tick. We'll have to have more margin now, there isn't any doubt. So you better dash with a load of cash or we'll have to sell you out.
Money doesn't disappear. Money never disappears. It always goes to somebody. It doesn't evaporate. Water evaporates, but money doesn't.
What happened? Does anybody know? What happened? Where did America go? Everything Walmart all the time. No more mama, papa, five and dime. What happened? Where did America go? Where did America go? How did we ever go so wrong? Did we get too high? Did we sleep too long? Why did we raise the price of gasoline? I remember the morning the towers fell. I fell back asleep and dreamed of hell. I guess I thought it all was part of my dream. What happened?
Now, unfortunately, starting with Ronald Reagan in America, the whole arc of history has been reversed, and we're back now to a medieval, neo-feudal composition in history where the Catholic Church has been replaced by the banking system, which wields incredible magical powers to turn the markets into garbage. You know, the message from Paulson and Geithner and Hank Paulson and these guys is that unless you agree to indentured servitude, we're going to send your portfolios to hell. And that's what they've been doing. They've been destroying people's net worths in America, not because the economy is worse, but because that's in the same way that the Catholic Church would stage the Inquisition. They're at war. You know, I mean, it's sounding more and more like Alex Jones, but the fact is, you know, the facts speak for themselves. These bankers are basically tearing people's lives apart because of their reversion back to the arc of history, which supports divine, you know, absolute power. You know, so there's no representation by the workers, I would say, or anyone who's been fighting for democracy for a couple hundred years. They're not represented in the United States government. There's nobody in the government who represents the people at this time. So the global insurrection against corporate occupation is gathering speed. And it's happening all over the world. It's just not happening in pockets in various countries. I mean, it's not happening in isolated incidents. It's happening now in pockets simultaneously all over the world. So you're seeing gathering speed on this.
The latest news has struck me funny. It says you have no friends if you haven't got money. And all of us good folks are in distress, but I'm gonna get something off my chest. 1932 won't be long. When you place your vote, please don't vote wrong. Vote away the blues, the breadline blues. It's a rich man's job to make some rules in order to live my breadline blues. Now listen, you folks, it ain't no joke. We gotta do something or we're all gonna croak. I can't get a job, we've all been robbed. We got no money and the corn's all cob. Got nothing but the blues, the breadline blues.
If my head stays right, I'll leave it to you. We could all have saved and better homebrew, said the long-eared mule standing over the box to the big-mouth elephant. You drink like an ox. And had 8 years proved nothing but a curse, instead of making it better, getting worse and worse. Oh, the long-eared mule said, I ain't no fool.
Said to the long-eared mule, well, shut your mouth, you never been to school. Well, the mule said, elephant, it ain't no joke. We better do something or we're all gonna croak. We're struggling to keep our head above water, but we're drowning in debt from the government order. It's the same old blues, those breadline blues. The latest news has struck me funny. Says you have no friends if you haven't got money.
Now all of us good folks in distress, but I'm gonna get something off of my chest.
2008 won't be long. When you place your vote, please don't vote wrong.
Vote away those blues, the breadline blues.
Famine in the plenty. Patience burns quick. Waiting for the rich, but the rich won't hurry. The rich eat us, so the rich don't worry. In the sun's shadow, Water melts into cold, running rivers of want. Want needs justice, but justice is just ice in those rivers of want. The stars in the night have seen it all. What isn't remembered takes time to weep. The soul isn't empty, yet it feels that way. Confusion in the happy place. The great lie is one with all the little lies. Edges of breaking dreams cutting into other dreams.
Once I lived a life of a millionaire, spending my money I didn't care. I carried my friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. When I began to fall so low, I didn't have a friend and no place to go. So if I ever get my hand on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it. Tell them eagles grin. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. In my
so they're going to issue these food stamps. And I wanted to look at that compared with, let's say, an $800 billion in food stamps that they're issuing to the banking system, as they said a couple of days ago.
Yesterday, they announced a new $800 billion plan.
It's a food stamp program. What's the difference? They're issuing $800 billion to the banks. This is paper money. It's fiat currency. It's not backed by anything. It's welfare for banks. And then they have a food stamp program. What's going on in America is that there's no parity within American economy amongst the various fiat currencies. There's many fiat currencies in America. There's the fiat currency that the federal government gives the bankers, which has purchasing power and has a relative standing in the fiat world that is greater than the food stamps they give to the workers. You know, there's a huge bias against workers in America. Workers and savers have no representation in America, in the halls of power in America. And as we've been saying for years now, the war in the world, it's not America versus the terrorists. It's not the Marines versus Al-Qaeda. It's not the legislators versus drug kingpins. It's about savers versus speculators. And here's a good example. Here, the savers and the workers are getting food stamps that are denominated in such a way as to penalize them for having been participating in the American system. Whereas the bankers are getting food stamps or welfare denominated in ways that reward them for their lack of participation in the system. But these currencies they're both coming from the same place, except that one currency is guaranteed to make workers and savers even more impoverished, and one currency is guaranteed to bail out reckless criminal behavior from friends, the people who are printing the welfare stamps.
That's a pity to see when the land of the free turned out to be nothing but a free-for-all. If you got big dough, you're freer than most, cause your freedom goes up with the sides of your bankroll. You can buy a judge or a bribe or a thug or a bomb or a shredding machine. You can buy your way through into and on to any ticket or TV screen. It's a money disease, it's a thing called greed. And it feeds on those who need the money most in Moneyland. Oh, it ain't so funny if you ain't got the money in Moneyland. Now just do a little time, pay a little fine, and then you're in the clear. Murdering robbery calls, but snobbery doesn't mean a thing, it just falls on deaf ear. Money is a thing we all sweat for, it's what some dreams are made of. But then there's those who want it all, and enough is never enough. It's a money disease, it's a thing called greed.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporation and to the profit for which they stand. One interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible, with monopoly and cheap labor for all.
There are also many overt ways in which the wealthy influence democracy. For example, corporate ownership and sponsorship of the media, through which public discourse can be controlled. A campaign finance system that relies on large infusions of private money. Extensive lobbying operations that give the wealthy preferred access to elected officials. And the selection of important government policy officials from the ranks of powerful corporations. With respect to the last, consider the influence of just one bank, Goldman Sachs. Robert Rubin, Goldman's chief operation officer, became Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. Hank Paulson, Goldman's chairman, became Treasury Secretary under the second President Bush. Robert Zoellick, the Bush administration's top trade official, became a Goldman managing director before taking his next job as head of the World Bank. And Stephen Friedman, former head of Goldman, chairs the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, whose 16 members consist largely of private citizens from influential banks, law firms, and industries, including oil. Meanwhile, Mr. Friedman still sits on the Goldman board.
This is America.
This is America.
This is America.
This is America.
An America hijacked by privileged private interests. I am a product of that status quo. You must work harder for lower pay. That is your part in the new global economy. This is America.
This is America.
This is America.
This is America.
An America with the world's strongest defense.
Since the Cold War ended, new challenges to American interests have emerged. The growing threat of peace and freedom. And our goal must always be the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction.
Defense spending is a privilege. And those who cut deals have been rewarded. This is America.
This is America.
One nation.
Indivisible.
God.
Under God.
Under.
One nation.
In
God.
With liberty.
Indivisible.
And justice.
This is America.
Once it's decided that the decision makers are stupid, ill-informed, incompetent, or if you're doing this psychology stuff, neurotic, and have blind spots and they can't fathom certain things because they're not as smart as you, it follows that their policies are failures. We hear that today, for instance. We hear that this administration is a failure. Bush is described as a failed administration. It took a wrong turn. I don't think it's a failed administration. He eliminated the estate tax, giving literally hundreds of billions of dollars back to that top fraction of 1%, the super rich. He's cut back corporate taxes down to almost nothing. Billions of dollars in Medicare have been handed over to Big Pharma, this pharmaceutical killing. Billions in income tax cuts, 40% of it has gone to the top 1% of the population, 40% of the tax cuts. The military budget has doubled. Where's the failure? Record profits for the defense industry and heavy industry in general. Where's the failure? Record corporate profits in general for all corporations. Federal courts are packed with young reactionaries like Alioto and Roberts in the Supreme Court and all through the other courts. Under the Bush administration, human services have been cut back or held flat. Wages remain flat, or real wages, counting for inflation, have actually declined. Two presidential elections were stolen. You got to see the article on that in here. This is an infomercial we're doing here. The super rich are richer than ever. Civil liberties are being rolled back and really held hostage.
Looking at the potential of explaining why the potential of nature's resources of sustainable abundance is evidence of genuine wealth. On a global scale, we are all potentially quite wealthy. Every one of the 6 point something billion of our global population could be rich in distributable and sustainable renewable resources. Even yet, as the total area of arable land diminishes and fish stocks shrink and water supply becomes unreliable, we exist amid prospective abundance. Though science and technology is capable of delivering global sustainability, this potential is at present subject to a restriction of access, ensuring a continuum of the status quo. This rich inheritance, to which we have limited access, is held in trust till we, as heirs, hopefully reach a certain intellectual acuity and a comprehension of our actual economic situation. Our understanding of the overall scheme of things ecological and environmental has certainly matured due to the recent investigations and research. It is the financial basis on which our economy rests that so far remains unscrutinized. We are continually made aware of our research abilities, our intellectual skills, and how we should be acting as a global society. That we are not an interconnected and unified world so far escapes our understanding. The reason seems to elude even the most erudite of our social commentators and public intellectuals. However, we struggle along blandly, assuming that our economy is thoroughly researched. It is not. We seem unable to grasp that we have no adequate financial access to the resources that would produce global sustainability. An investigation of this farcical situation is not even considered. So our situation as heirs to potential abundance remains one of frustration. Comforting lip service and token feel-good gestures by governments and industries allay some fears, but no real progress is being made toward a sustainable world. We're told, for instance, that nuclear energy or geosequestration will slow the pace of looming disaster in 15 or 50 years. And this seems the most important part without the loss of jobs or the profit those industries create. Even if we have not the slightest idea why there is no adequate access to our resource potential, should we not at least be aware that every natural and renewable resource is there waiting? This being true, an investigation of why we suffer from lack in a plentiful world should seem to be a reasonable proposition. We are incredibly well versed in the science and skills needed for creating sustainable products and ways of living. Yet against our better understanding, our social and industrial practices remain untenable. Should we not at least question this anomaly? Poverty in our abundant world began and continues with an economic fiction, one that generations have been raised on and have accepted as fact. It has spawned a culture of conflict that has fed and perpetrated a myth throughout our entire civilization. The question of human competitiveness is a complex one. The ability to compete is a biological survival mechanism and is valid in this climate of perceived scarcity. It becomes evident that the perceived greed in global society is but a symptom of that uninvestigated part of our economy. The majority of our world population is immersed in arbitrarily created poverty, a totally artificial reality. It requires that we all compete for a share of restricted access. Confusingly, we are also aware of our interdependence, so we cooperate, but within groups. the better to compete with other groups. These then accuse each other of exploitational practices. A culture of conflict, confusion, and guilt is entrenched in our social intercourse and discussion, our political, cultural, and social comment and opinion. On the one hand, we have a potentially sustainable world of plenty. On the other, an unrecognized, artificially erected financial barrier that restricts adequate access to desperately needed resources. The economic scarcity factor is accepted without question. It is supported and deified, as is any other deity. The similarity to another deity that was a barrier to understanding our position in the solar system, as uncovered by Copernicus and Galileo, is extraordinary. That barrier to knowledge, however, is overcome, and that particular divinity is in decline. The deity of scarce finance, however, is still in ascendance and is all-powerful. It permits no other allegiances and demands absolute obedience to its commandments for financial success. For instance, you shall compete with others for scarce access to goods and services. Exploit natural resources and other human beings without question. Ignore the pleadings of economic heretics calling for a halt to environmental and social degradation.
Citigroup, as you remember, 18 months ago, Chuck Prince was bragging that, well, as long as this global credit pyramid scheme was going on, the music, as he called it, Citigroup was going to continue to dance. And this is only a year after a story we covered about Citigroup rigging the euro bond market and then getting caught manipulating the euro bond market and having to pay a fine. So we know the Citigroup's been engaged in market manipulation and had been caught and paid a fine. It's no big secret that they've been convicted felons in the bond rigging game. And then shortly thereafter, Chuck Prince was bragging about it, saying, well, we'll pay a little bit of a fine. As long as a global Ponzi scheme is continuing, we're just going to keep dancing, as he called it. Now, when the credit collapse hit, the government comes along and they bail out all the bad bets, $306 billion in covering of the bad bets.
Yeah, but this is, again, goes back to every weekend. They're just without any oversight. Obviously, Congress and the Senate are not meeting on the weekend. So whose authority are they handing these hundreds of billions of dollars every single weekend to another bank or another favored corporation?
Money, 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 money. Money, money.